The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome to the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire. You've got an hour of Football League chat to keep you entertained ahead of the evening's football. Leeds United live coming to you from Anfield this evening in the quarterfinal of the League Cup as Leeds United look to knock out Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool. We'll have team news from Margrethe's and stats around quarter to seven. We'll also have team news from Hull City as well, because Derek Clark is there for us in the other quarter-final featuring a Yorkshire side tonight as Mike Phelan's side look to beat Newcastle to progress to the last four. Elsewhere, we'll look at the rest of the news in the Football League, including Kenny Jackett getting his call at Rotherham. He's quit after just a few weeks. We'll also be talking Blackburn Rovers and a bit of manager news as well. MK Dons are still on the lookout, and could Bury be about to hire Phil Neville? We'll discuss it all on the FL 72. Yes, hello and welcome to the FL 72. Sam Bridges and the editor of the 72.co.uk, Tom Carnduff, with you for another Tuesday night and for another 60 minutes of Football League chat. How are you doing, Tom?
Very good. How are you?
I'm all right. What? I'm very entertained. Tom Carnduff, came into the office. Before we start the show, you need to hear this story, and hopefully the studio cameras will have picked it up. I'm not sure with your angle whether you did, but Tom came into the office today with a hole in your pocket.
Like, yeah.
Which has been causing you a few problems.
Yeah, it's like in my jeans, like on my right pocket. We're on Facebook Live, so I can kind of demonstrate it as well, can't I?
Yeah, the camera's so like, got the wide angle.
There's quite a big hole in the pocket, so it's caused me, it caused me some problems.
Yeah, and when you came into the studio, your phone fell through the hole and got stuck. He wears rather skinny jeans, as these young'uns do.
As the kids are today.
Yeah, and it got stuck.
It did.
It got stuck all the way down.
So,
it took you quite a while.
Yeah, I've got it now.
Dislodge it.
But it's happened. I've sorted it. I'm fine. I've got over it.
It's never happened before.
But I'm not, I don't know. I'm going to have to get home and get my sewing skills out. I say skills, I've never sewed anything ever, but it looks pretty simple. So then I'm going to have to fix my jeans. That's my to-do job. As soon as forget Liverpool Leeds, that pocket needs sorting.
No, you could just buy some new ones. Stop being tight. Right, we'll kick off with the show as we do as ever with Yorkshire news and some pretty big news that really rocked the Football League world last night. Kenny Jackett got his coat and left Rotherham. Well, I mean, I like that joke. Use it on Facebook Live, where you can watch us tonight, facebook.com/Radio Yorkshire. Go watch the show live there. Kenny Jackett got his coat. He's left Rotherham.
He has, yeah. Came as a massive surprise, really, that one, that he's basically just kind of stepped in. He's just turned up and he's already resigned. It's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, there was no real inkling, was there, after Saturday's game against Leeds United, of course, in action 7 o'clock against Liverpool. Join Mark Wilson, Neil Redfern, and Andrew Stats Dalton for that one. We'll have team news around 6:40, 6:45 on the show. But yeah, after that defeat to Leeds at the weekend, there wasn't. Rotherham played all right second half.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think, you know, especially with the way the first half went, Leeds were quite lucky in the end, especially with the chance towards the end where I'm not quite sure how Rotherham didn't manage to find the net despite Leeds' kind of last-ditch defending. Very unlucky, but, you know, at no point did it go through your mind that, well, Kenny Jackett's going to resign after this. It's going to be a bad result. He's going to resign. I don't think anyone would have thought that. So, you know, by the sounds of what Stuart has said since, you know, he kind of decided on the Saturday when he told them that he was going to resign, so he must have been thinking about it in the week, whatever, but regardless, it is a massive shock that he's decided to leave already.
Yeah, it's a hard one to get your head around, because I think a lot of people saw Kenny Jackett as the man who would maybe come into Rotherham and not probably this season be able to do what Neil Warnock did last season and keep them up. But a guy that's been down in League One can build a team in League One and can get Rotherham back up and back up stronger. So a lot of people saw it as more of a long-term job for Kenny Jackett.
I think it's difficult because they've had so many managers in kind of the last 2 years. two seasons where they're kind of hitting that period where, they experienced kind of the success under Steve Evans when he obviously got them up into the championship. He was kind of a manager you'd associate with him, as managers do when they've experienced success, when they've been at a club for a certain amount of time. And it's difficult to see, kind of looking forward, how anyone is going to want to take the job, because you presume Kenny Jackett came in and it was going to kind of be a long-term project. Whether, they'd accept relegation as part of that, I'm not too sure. Whether, they look to January as a potential opportunity to bring players in, players that Jackett wanted, because obviously they made quite a few changes over the summer with Stubbs. Stubbs' appointment and obviously Warnock's departure. So it's difficult to kind of comment unless, until we hear probably from Jackett from all sides or both sides of the story. It's kind of, like I said, it's just difficult to put into words when it kind of happens so quickly and you don't quite know the reasons behind it. But
yeah, well, it's seemingly just a football decision. Yeah. He doesn't feel like he can...
Well, they said they left on good terms. So.
Yeah, at the place. He went in after the game at the weekend and handed his resignation in. So obviously he felt that he wouldn't be able to save Rotherham and maybe that's not the job for him anymore, and it's probably best someone else do it. So it does seem strange. And it seems strange to me more and more. You get managers in the clubs. Paul Lambert was one at Blackburn last season where he went in there and then he was kind of thinking, he kept saying, I'm going to get money. And then he slowly realised probably whatever other Blackburn manager's been through, Owen Coyle at the moment, has been through over the last 3 years. We've had fans on this show talking about it. Just that it's the same old story. So again, for Rotherham, he's walking into a job in the Championship. They're bottom of the league. They've made a lot of changes. Probably aren't good enough. Yeah, he's felt the need to walk out after 39 days. Surely you know what you're getting into when you walk into
definitely.
Some of those clubs.
Definitely, but it's kind of obviously it's something he must have put some serious thought into, because, as has kind of come out, he did offer that resignation on the Saturday. They kind of thought, well, discuss it tomorrow. Maybe it's just a kind of reaction to the game where maybe they were unlucky not to get something out of it. But then still on the Sunday, still adamant that the resignation was there, that he didn't want to be a part of it. So obviously something must have changed, I think, for me, from that point of him getting the job to now, because he can't have been surprised that they're not winning many games. You look at kind of the situation they were in under Stubbs. They may be unlucky at times not to get the results, but bottom line was they weren't getting anything. They weren't getting points, weren't getting a single point, 3 points, whatever. So there's obviously been something there, because it can't come as a shock that Rotherham are a struggling side. They're a team at the bottom end. Maybe the quality's not vast throughout the squad, with the greatest respect to the players there, but it's difficult. Obviously, I think it is something has happened from maybe the first time he stepped in to now, because, like I said, it can't come as a shock that Rotherham are a struggling side. And, I think even when they had the talks about the January transfer window, they sounded to be positive. So, I don't think they're indicating towards that. So, I think we're going to have to wait a few days before we hear from probably Jackett, from everyone involved, to actually get a clear picture together.
Do you agree with the rule changes where you can't really use the loan market the same anymore, and he's had to rely on free transfers? He brought in Peter Odemwingie, as he said, mainly to be a leader in the dressing room, and then at the weekend he goes and gets himself recklessly, stupidly sent off, and you can't even rely on the experienced players. But it's very difficult for managers walking into football clubs at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. I think with the loan market, it was the emergency loan window, but then how many clubs were using it for emergency purposes? Probably none by the end of it. There were a few, of course, but people were mostly using it to kind of bring in additional quality to get them through to the next transfer window, whatever. And, I thought at the same time with that going, it might give some clubs more faith in their management in terms of to give them a bit longer, because like Jackett's experience, he's come in, maybe he can't work with sets of players, whatever, and then like Rotherham, you're now in a position where a month or so down the line, you're having to find a new manager. So I wouldn't probably point towards the lack of a loan market, emergency loan market. I think it's probably just one of those where he couldn't implement the way he wanted to play like he did at Wolves when he took over there. It was pretty much you know, success in League One, then Championship just missing out on the playoffs. So, yeah, I wouldn't point towards the loan market change. I think it's just one of those that probably didn't work out in the end.
So where next for Rotherham? Paul Warne is the caretaker manager. He's odds on with the bookies to get the job full-time. Tony Mowbray's gone into evens as well to get the job. But again, you're looking at a manager that suffered quite recently, you know, quality manager in the past, but his last job didn't work out very well. Coventry, Robin Nielsen, who is heavily linked with the MK Dons as well at 10-1. Nigel Adkins, 12s. Again, you're looking at another manager who's struggled more recent times. John Pemberton, Stuart Gray, potentially at 12s. But there isn't a real standout candidate for me there.
I think a case of who is going to kind of want to take the job, you know, you've got to look at it that they've got what? Minimal points there, bottom of the league by some way already. There's a massive gap emerging, not just on the teams in kind of safety, but the team above them. Of course, Stubbs leaving, they'll be looking for their third manager of the season, and we're only at the end of November. Someone like Jackett, who was quite, I think, highly respected, really, in the Championship. He did all right with Millwall when he was there for kind of the team they had. Same with Wolves, of course, managing, you know, quite unlucky that they didn't really get playoffs when they had, is it Dicko, Sacco and Afobe up front that season. So yeah, I can understand kind of why managers don't want it, and then you're left with the likes kind of Tony Mowbray, where, you know, it didn't work out his last jobs. Managers there who haven't really experienced much success in recent times, and then you're left with kind of looking maybe down the leagues for someone who's going to want to take the step up. But, you know, even if you're looking for a job as a manager like Nigel Adkins, Rotherham, they look destined to go down already. Do you really want that on your CV? Then, well, probably not if you're going to be looking for a bigger job in the future.
Yeah, we shall wait and see on the next Rotherham manager. But another one down, and the amount of managers Rotherham have had since Steve Evans' departure is quite alarming. Elsewhere, let's talk about Leeds United takeover. Talk continues.
It does.
/ partnership, as you've written down here. What's the latest?
Well, yeah, it's kind of been rumoured for a while that, you know, I think Chileno's going to be selling the club. And it's kind of come out over the past couple of days when the interested party did actually say in an interview, I can't remember exactly where the interview is, but it's been everywhere, that he is in talks with, you know, kind of made it official, and it's going to be a 50-50 split with Chileno to start with, I think, with the aim in 6 months' time of taking over full control of the club. So obviously whether Chileno is going to be there for the second half of the season to kind of introduce him to the club, whether Leeds fans want that or not, I don't know, but, you know, it might help him into kind of English football management, English football ownership. And yeah, I think for me, the fact that he's kind of gone public with it now, despite being pictured at games over the past couple of months, really, yeah, it maybe suggests that a deal is close and that he's kind of got that confidence to go, OK, yeah, I am negotiating, feel pretty confident about it, things like that. So, you know, it could be something that is over the horizon, and it's difficult, I suppose, for Leeds fans, because a lot of them do, you know, don't have much faith in the current owner, but then the team's on a current spell, current good spell, so you've kind of got that, you know, one good thing might end up maybe disrupting another, I'm not too sure, but, you know, it should be very interesting times ahead anyway.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it pans out for Leeds, but yeah, there has been quite a lot of takeover talk. Of course, there have been quite a few takeovers over the last few years, and it has tended to affect things on the
pitch. Yeah, I think when, the last Leeds are obviously fifth now, and the last time Leeds were fifth was under Brian McDermott before Chileno took over. So it was that kind of, I think, around the same time that season under McDermott, Leeds had got themselves into a really good position. And then the sport capital takeover, things like that happened throughout December. And then we hit into January, the Chileno takeover talk happened. And that kind of happened. And then obviously Chileno's suspension for the rest of the season. And to be honest, I know you can't exactly go, right, that is definitely the reason as to why, but you've got to kind of look at the pattern and say, well, Leeds were doing really well until the off-field issues happened. They then obviously struggled during that, and then even when the takeover was completed, there was the talk of players not getting paid by whichever, you know, whichever owners were at the time, whoever owed it, and it just, you know, it's disruptive. And then once you're in a bad run, it's very difficult to turn it around. But, you know, that was last time. Not saying it's going to happen every time, but, you know, you can't really predict the future on anything, especially these types of things. I think for Leeds, it's just a case of hoping the team can keep winning in the league, maybe try and get a shock result against Liverpool tonight, and then kind of deal with the off-field issues when it comes to it.
Yeah, we shall see. We'll have team news from Ellen Road in the next 20 minutes, from Anfield, sorry. of course, in the League Cup, as Leeds United head to Liverpool this evening, Mark Wilson, Neil Redfern and Andrew Stats-Dalton will be with us for that, and then for full match commentary from 7 o'clock. Moving on then, Tom, to Huddersfield Town in action last night, a bit of Monday night football for Huddersfield on the telly against lowly Wigan, second bottom of the table as of last night. They're not there anymore, third bottom now, moving on up. But defeat for Huddersfield Town.
Yeah, definitely. They're kind of in a bit of a bad slump. We spoke about this last week, actually. Me and Andy Lawson had this conversation at the start of last week's show, where is it maybe the start of a decline? Maybe is it the start of a crisis? You know, I don't think at that time it was going... you know, it's, you know, the start of the season's kind of made up for it. There's no need to kind of use the term crisis. But then a home loss to Wigan, where Huddersfield's been a difficult place for most teams to go and play. This season, obviously, with the crowds they're getting there, the support that's coming through the doors and in to support the team. And Wigan, who were second bottom, managed to go there and get a victory against a team who, you know, still are. I think they're still sixth, Huddersfield. They're still in the top six, but... Mm. They were in and out of first, and they were first for quite a long time. So you wouldn't say crisis, but I think it's getting to the point now where it is maybe worrying that, you know, even if they do drop off and they do finish mid-table, I suppose, fans will still be happy with it when you compare it to pre-season expectations, but knowing where they were.
Yeah.
And it might be a bit disappointing.
Yeah, but you look at it now, it is no winning in four back-to-back defeats for Huddersfield, and... just 4 points again from their last seven games. A win against Derby, their last win on the 22nd of October now, and drawing with Birmingham earlier on in November too. So there is a little bit of alarm there for Huddersfield fans. Obviously, they've been buoyed by this and a good run of form, and the positivity and the crowds are obviously up because of the season ticket deals and the team's form. So it is kind of... We kind of said we'll see Huddersfield's mettle in this run now from the last international break through to Christmas. So it's not started off in the best fashion.
I think teams are starting to kind of work Huddersfield out a bit, because obviously with David Wagner, with the style of play they've got, with that kind of typical Dortmund German type play, they're very good with the ball at the feet, very good playing it across the ground. And I think when teams start to figure them out and force them to kind of play the ball in the air, that's their downfall. And I think that kind of showed a bit last night with the Wigan game, and that's how teams like Wigan could work them out, could get the result. And of course for Wigan, you know, take nothing away from it, good performance, they got the win, pushing themselves up the table, maybe away from danger a bit, or hoping to start push away from danger. But I think that's it. I think it maybe, I don't think I'd use the term complacency, but it's kind of it was on cloud nine for a bit, enjoying it, and now the results aren't going their way. They're in this first kind of big slide and big kind of bad form, because they had the odd blip over the past few months, but now it's kind of coming consecutively. It's kind of, how do we deal with that? How do we change so that we can get back to the winning ways? Because obviously at the moment, it's just not working.
And next up for Huddersfield, they go to Blackburn on Saturday, which is a tough game. Now, obviously, a lot of people were writing Blackburn off, but they're up to 20th now, out of the relegation zone. Back-to-back wins as well for Owen Coyle's side. We'll talk about that later, their win against Newcastle at the weekend. So, again, that's a tough game under these current circumstances.
I think anyone really is a tough game in this league this season. You know, we're seeing shock results. We know how close it is. You just got to look at the league table to see how close it is from the top, well... Maybe if you exclude Newcastle, but, you know, that mid-table and how kind of packed together the teams are. So I think every game is going to be a difficult one, but Blackburn must be feeling confident after the weekend. Of course, not many teams go away to Newcastle and get a victory. Of course, Huddersfield know all about it, but you know, they'll probably be feeling confident. They'll probably be fancying themselves a bit, especially at home. I think it's always important to win your home games just to keep your home, you know, your home fans happy. Yeah, like you said, it's going to be difficult, but I think Huddersfield, if you know, they really do have aspirations of kind of being a top six club, top six team now, then Blackburn even, it's got to be a game that you've got to look at and you've got to go and win.
Huddersfield Town, yeah, not a great run of form at all at the moment. Hopefully they can turn it around and keep in that promotion mix. Let's drop into League One now, and Bradford and Sheffield United. Slight slip up for Sheffield United, a draw with Charlton, but again, your change of manager there, maybe to be expected. Bradford City losing to Swindon, a little slight wobble for Bradford over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it has been. It's kind of been a bit hit miss. Really, is the best word to use it. It seems to be loss win. But yeah, you know, I think Sheffield United, it was a bit of a slip up, but you know, it was an away game where you can get points away, combining with the winning games at home like they have been, then it's always going to kind of work out well. It's going to be a good thing, and that's tend to how teams go up. As long as you win your home games, pick up points away, of course you're going to do well. But for Bradford, I think Swindon, you know, obviously since Sherwood's been in, it's kind of changed a bit. I think the immediate impact was that win over Charlton, where they looked very, very convincing. But since then, it's, you know, they've struggled. I think even in the FA Cup, they've struggled. In the league, they've struggled. So to get a win over Bradford, taking nothing away from it, it's good to keep a clean sheet as well. But for Bradford, with where Swindon are, how they've been struggling, you know, I think you've got to be leaving that one disappointed, because for a team who are towards the top end, Bradford's away form, especially in recent weeks, has just been awful. You know, they've not really picked up many points away from home over the last few weeks. So I wouldn't say kind of panicking about it, but they've got to kind of address it surely if they are a team that do want to get promoted.
Yeah, Bradford fourth in the league at the moment, and a bit of opportunity now for Sheffield United. They're in action tonight against Walsall at Bramall Lane, and then on Saturday, it's the FA Cup this weekend, isn't it? But they could go into second tonight, obviously, with a win. They've got a better goal difference than Bolton. Would jump ahead of them on points as well. So a nice opportunity for the Blades to head into the next round of fixtures after the FA Cup in second position.
Yeah, it'd be big, wouldn't it? It'd be massive for them, especially with the way they started this season, where questions were kind of asked early on. I know, important not to kind of jump to conclusions about it, but there were the questions there of, are they kind of going to be in a similar position? Are they going to be stuck further down the table? But really turned it round, and, you know, a bit of an unfortunate slip up at the weekend, because they went on a run of, what, 6-7 games, I think, before that, where they'd won. And on paper, you know, you've got to kind of be looking tonight. It's going well. It's a very winnable game for them. Walsall, not been in the greatest of forms. I think they've only won one in their last five, and that was the Checker Trade Trophy game. So really, God, I don't think you could kind of count that when you look at league form. So for Sheffield United, great opportunity to go second. Like I said, if they can go into a break in second position, it's really going to give them a confidence looking forward, especially to January, where if they need to strengthen, I'm sure the club will be happy to, in order to secure promotion.
Yeah, we shall hear now from the Sheffield United boss, head of that game against Walsall tonight. Radio Yorkshire has been speaking to Chris Wilder.
You've spoken of the frustration after that draw against Charlton, but I suppose the bigger picture is it's another game unbeaten and this fantastic run continues.
Yeah, I mean, you know, talk about it, a lot of good things happening. So, and this is how far we've come, that the players are obviously disappointed to draw a team that was tipped to go up, never mind do, you know, being the playoffs. I think from their point of view on Saturday, the protests or whatever, the thing that's going off the pitch, you know, they can't affect, and I should imagine the manager has been telling them that. They've still got a lot of good players. So to go there on Saturday and dominate a game and not win is, you know, disappointing. But as you said, a step in the right direction where I want to take us.
Looking at Walsall, another home game, you look at that Bury game, the 95th minute, the crowd, I felt they played a bit of a part in that goal because they were so positive, making so much noise. You know, you know how positive the fans can be and how big an influence they can be. Will you be expecting the same on Tuesday?
Well, they've been outstanding. They've been outstanding even at the difficult period that we had. So, you know, it's up to the players to produce another performance, and I'm sure if they do that the support will be consistent. And I've said before, I think they recognise the effect that they can have on this team, what they have done, in a positive way. So I'd be very, very surprised if you start going the other way. But there's no doubt about it that they certainly lift the players, and that's what we've tried to give them, and they've certainly done that.
Looking at where Walsall are in the table, 17th at the moment, but if they win a few games, they could end up very near the playoff places. It is such a tight league.
Well, I think it's, you know, historically been like that, you know, last year with the Barnsley situation. So it can. So they'll be looking to get a result at our place to gain them a bit of confidence moving forward into an important period of the season. So yeah, again, you know, no gimmies in this division. It's just up to work as harder as we have done. Do those bits of the game that maybe aren't highlighted to give us an opportunity to win the game.
And of course, looking at that squad, a lot of them players were there last season when they did so well and got into the playoffs. So the quality really is there for them.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be looking for one result to click them back. You know, they've had a couple of difficult performances, but you know, I think what you will look at is the spirit of the team. You know, they get done 4-0 away, and they've got a result in the next game, which is a big thing, I should imagine, for the manager, and definitely a positive they can take from the weekend.
And just finally, looking at Lavery, how close is he to starting games now for the side?
Yeah, he is. They all want to start, and I totally understand that. And if they didn't have that attitude, then I would be disappointed. And really, they shouldn't be a professional footballer. So he is. And as we've said all along, when they do get the opportunity, when players do come onto the pitch, they have to make us better. They, you know, I'm not looking for the performance to deteriorate. You know, I'm looking for us, when we do make substitutions or do make changes, to take us forward.
Football chat and much more. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Christmas. It's a wonderful time of year, but also a really expensive one. Thankfully, at Cash Converters, you can turn your unwanted stuff into instant cash. Old tech, unworn jewellery, unplayed instruments, all could be turned into cash to pay for this year's festivities. What's more, you can spread the cost of items we sell over several payments. Conditions apply. Cover the costs of Christmas and find your nearest store at cashconverters.co.uk.
There are some interesting stories about what McDonald's Chicken McNuggets are made from. Are they really a delicate combination of everything from beaks to tree bark? Or the result of years of experimenting with top-secret alien chickens found on a crashed UFO in Area 51? No, they're not. Sorry. Chicken McNuggets are actually made from 100% chicken breast meat, and the chickens aren't 10 feet tall, able to yodel in B-flat or pink and orange striped either. They're just chickens. If you want to try a McNugget, they're served after 10:30 a.m. And if you want to find out more, search McDonald's Good to Know.
Hello, I'm your smoke alarm. I'm just hanging out up here on the ceiling. Could you possibly get up here and test me by pressing my button? I meant kind of like now. You seem to spend a lot of time pressing buttons on your phone. But can your phone wake you and your family up in the night to save your lives? Because I can, if I'm working. So remembering to test me is crucial. How about we take it from the top? Hello, I'm your smoke alarm. Please test me now.
Fire kills. Press to test. Monthly is best.
Do you need a bag?
Yes, please.
Help with packing?
Sure.
Help to the car?
I'm fine, thanks.
Help with driving?
Unlike this situation, when it comes to your first mortgage, there's nothing like too much help. That's why at Post Office Money, our Help to Buy mortgages come with a dedicated application manager. No upfront fees, and you'll even get £500 cash back. Apply over the phone or speak to one of our mortgage specialists in branch. Post Office Money. Mortgages sorted. Post Office Money mortgages are provided by Bank of Ireland UK. Your home may be repossessed if you don't keep up repayments on your mortgage.
From Barnsley to Bradford, the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to the FL 72. Sam and Tom with you for about another half an hour. We are talking Football League. We've done our Yorkshire news. Now let's touch on the news from the wider aspects of the Football League. And Tom, you've led with Owen Coyle.
Owen Coyle.
Is this such big news that Blackburn would get a result against top of the table Newcastle?
Yeah. Yeah, it is, because You know, as you know, I think we're massive fans of Owen Coyle on this show. He gets the regular mention and, you know, start of the season, they looked very bad. They really didn't have much going for him. And then not many teams beat Newcastle home or away. So for them to go to St James's Park and get a result, fantastic achievement for them. Of course, get clean sheet as well, even better. It's kind of a really good performance. And Owen Coyle himself, what did he say? He said, oh, well, happy, but we could have done better. We could have done bits and bobs, as if he casually kind of brushed it off as in a, well, I could have made them kind of get a bigger result, but thought that would do. But massive result for him, huge, especially at the other end of the table. And, you know, hopefully for them, it would be a bit of a confidence boost to kick them on.
And potentially does show just keeping the faith with a manager, whoever it is sometimes the right thing to do, because Cardiff City have made a change. They weren't in the relegation places when Neil Warnock was appointed the manager there, but now they're second bottom of the table after Wigan's win last night.
Yeah, two wins in a row as well for Blackburn. They're really flying now. I think they should get kind of everything ready for the victory parade come May. But, you know, I think they're still kind of down there. They're still in trouble. I think now they're just kind of making up for, you know, quite a bad start over the past couple of weeks to kind of kick them away a bit. But I still think they're, what, 1 point off the relegation zone. So until they can kind of get some consistent results, then they're still down there. But, you know, take nothing away. It was a good result against Newcastle. They've got another tough run coming up in Huddersfield, Preston, Brighton, Reading, of course, all teams doing very well at the top end of the table. So if they can start taking things out of that, that's kind of when it's going to be a case of, OK, then maybe they, you know, they can stay in this league, and hopefully, you know, for them, they can kick on in the future.
It just shows the state of the division this year, that you can look to Fulham in 10th on to 25 points, and that's just 7 points away from the team that's second bottom.
It's crazy, isn't it? As I said, it's just so compact, the league, and how tight it is. Then, you know, that might work in Blackburn's favour. Once they start getting a few results, once they start beating a couple more teams, they can really push on up the league a bit. So, you know, it's, you don't kind of want to get too carried away if you're a Blackburn fan, but you've got to enjoy it whenever a result like that comes in. And yeah. You know, we do take the mick out of Owen Coyle quite a lot, but fair play to him in getting a good result, a good team.
It is starting to take shape a little bit down the bottom of the league. Some of the teams maybe you would have expected to, at the start of the season, to be down there. Some of the teams that struggled early doors are starting to climb the table. Aston Villa now up to 11th. You've got Derby County up to 9th as well. So some of those teams that are starting to show signs of their recovery. And then others, you know, you're starting to see the likes of Burton get dragged in, Barnsley as well, starting to end up down towards the bottom of the league. Barnsley in a real bad run of form at the moment, only one win in their last 10 games. It just now start to look like maybe how you would have expected the championship table at the start of the season. Still one or two surprises, but starting to form now.
Yeah, I think that's going to kind of be a bit of a worry for kind of your Leeds, your Huddersfield, Birmingham, Reading, all up there. That, you know, it's great, the current kind of situations of those teams, but then you've got the likes of Wednesday, who are now up to 7th after a bit of a blip. Like you said, Derby, Villa, they're all still mid-table, still down there. And there's kind of teams across the division, really, no matter where they are in the league, that have the potential to be better and to push on and improve. So I think over the next few weeks is when we'll kind of see the league properly take shape in terms of what we expect. But, you know, at the same time, take nothing away from, especially Reading, kind of the turnaround from last season. It's been outstanding for them. It's been, you know, they've been very impressive so far. And, you know, most importantly, they've been getting the results. Same with Birmingham, same with Leeds in recent weeks, same with Huddersfield at the start of the season. So, you know, they've got that kind of advantage. They've got that kind of go-ahead now. They need to just kind of consistently keep picking up the results to keep that gap there, to kind of keep the likes of Sheffield Wednesday, your Aston Villas out from taking their places. But, you know, like you said, kind of that league is starting to take shape as we'd expect it to now. But for me, as kind of a Leeds fan, for us, as Huddersfield, as another Yorkshire club as well, I think we'd be quite happy with that. Kind of top four, really, come the end of the season if Sheffield Wednesday can sneak in as well.
Yeah, I'm sure you would be. let's give Owen Coyle his moment in the sun then. Very good win for Blackburn.
Prepare for fast talking.
And here he is, fast talking, almost rapping. Owen Coyle celebrating that victory over Rafa Benitez at the weekend.
Well, Owen, many congratulations. How close was that to the perfect away performance?
Well, I mean, I think the objective was to come here and, as I said during the week, get a positive result. To do that, we needed every one of our players, I think, to play at a maximum. Which we got close today. I still think we could have been better at different times in the game, but the level of performance, how we started, keepers had an unbelievable save for them to keep it 0-0 from Danny Graham's header, and we threatened all the time, we looked lively, we looked inventive, but understanding we're obviously going to stand up at different times and defend against very good players and good movement. That's why you spend 70 or 80 million on your team, what you've done. That's why you're today going to try and break your record for the, you know, when you think how long this club has been in existence and the history and the quality of players they have. And then I think everybody felt they were all set for a party today, for a record-breaking run. Well, we knew we could come, we knew we'd been playing well. I've said this before, I mean, I'm always balanced, and I said first seven games we were, in terms of our points return, was really poor, and from then on we've actually been playing a lot better at performances and probably should have had more points in that spell. But knowing we could stand toe-to-toe with some of the very good teams in the division, as we showed last week against Brentford, played very well. And coming in here as well, I'd say to players, you know, everybody's wrote us off, bar everybody at Blackburn Rovers, because we believe in what we're doing. And it was important that we went onto that field and we gave everything we could to show and set out a marker that, you know, we are a decent team. We had a tough time at the start, absolutely, but we've seen ourselves through that. We have the mentality and the desire and the will, because we've been playing catch-up every week. We're the ones that have, you know, people talk about, you know, people going for championship. The pressure's at the other end when you feel it's an area you shouldn't be in, but we've picked ourselves up every week. We've dealt with that. We've always had a smile on our face, knowing that we're putting the right bricks in place, if you want to call it, for want of a better phrase, and that's what we did. And today, everyone in were credit to themselves, backed, I've got to say, by an unbelievable support. I mean, I think somebody said we had 1,500 fans. It felt like 15,000 because the noise from them, the vocal, and that's why at the end I made sure every one of those players went together, you know, not individually but together as a group, to thank the fans for that support. But equally, I think the fans will go home tonight obviously thanking the players for the level of performance they gave today, and that was absolutely brilliant. And that's what we want. It's days like this we want at our club. But to do that, you've got to earn them. You've got to be from the first whistle to the last. I think there were 6 added minutes and then a further 30 seconds for the caution picked up on, but they stood up to every test that was asked of them. I think Jason Steele won one outstanding save from the corner. It was on the second phase and he's been out to block it. Out with that, I don't think there was too many saves as such, although they had a lot of pressure with ball in the box, but we stood up. Mulgrew again was outstanding, and young Darren Lenihan continues to get better every week. I don't want to individualise players because I thought it was a team performance, but you know, we really stood up and we're counted today. I felt it was a really brave performance in many, many ways.
From Wednesday to United, the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
And breathe.
It's just, I don't know, it's kind of, it's like verbal diarrhea, I think it's the phrase, isn't it? Where he just thinks and just keeps saying it, and it's like, oh, need to mention this as well, need to mention this.
Yeah,
and
he has to get all his cliches in, but there we go, Owen Coyle.
One for another phrase.
Blackburn in a decent run of form at the moment, climbing out of the relegation zone, so Tom felt it only right to celebrate that, and I'm sure you'll be celebrating him again later on. I know you're not, are you? In some way you are, in good days.
Some way.
But that's still to come.
Don't ruin the surprise.
Before 7 o'clock, and of course Leeds United live from Anfield this evening in the quarterfinal of the League Cup. Mark Wilson, Neil Redfern and Andrew Stats Dalton. We've also got Derek Clark. He's over at Hull City as they face Newcastle United. We'll be heading to both grounds for team news very, very shortly. But right now, Tom, let's crack on with the rest of this Football League news. And Will Hughes rejected a contract offer from Derby County. What are you thinking about this situation for Will Hughes? I suppose he's probably seen quite a few false dawns at Derby.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's kind of been around for a bit since he kind of broke into that Derby team. He has been an important player for them, and probably, you know, an important player in the league. I think you don't hear as much about him now because of kind of the interest he's had in him in the past season or so. But he's still, you know, still very good, still very talented player. But obviously, with the way Derby have been at times this season, of course, the struggle, of course, getting the win over Norwich at the weekend, which, you know, a good result for them, but still in ninth. I suppose they'd be kind of thinking that they'd want to be a top six side all season long, really. And you know, with a player like Will Hughes, there's going to be the interest there. There's surely got to be interest from either Premier League, you know, maybe someone like a Hull City who need the players, need additional talent coming in. You know, maybe he just kind of wants to look elsewhere and wants to, maybe if there is Premier League interest, you can kind of understand why it's happened, because Derby are kind of in that position where they keep coming close but don't quite get it. And this season, you know, they've not started the best.
No, are coming back into it though. But yeah, the money that must be on offer. But how good is he, do you think? And where potentially in the Premier League could you see a Will Hughes?
It's difficult to kind of say, really, as in with any Championship player that kind of moves up, because, you know, we've seen it over the past kind of couple of years where top-rated Championship players have made the step up and maybe not performed as well as you'd kind of expect. And then there's been other players who, you know, like your kind of your Creswells, where we knew the talent, but they weren't ranted and raved about every week like a striker would be, who's done very well. The teams that seem to be linked with him are your Liverpool, Everton. I think both Merseyside clubs want him. Teams towards the top end of the Premier League have expressed the interest. Whether he'd go there and play regularly, I doubt it. I think especially with Liverpool, kind of the team they've got. But I think it's difficult for any player to turn down an opportunity when a top Premier League club comes in for you. And I think with the contract, it was rumoured that, or it's been reported elsewhere, he was offered less, or I think he wanted to be top earner, offered less than Bradley Johnson. I think he was on about 30k a week. So I think it's obviously the wage issue there. And of course, whenever a player rejects a contract, the interested clubs are going to be on alert. So, you know, with January coming up, I'm sure clubs will express the interest before the January window comes, so they can try and get him in early. And for Derby, it's going to have to be get it sorted quickly if they are to keep him, because, you know, if a 10-15 million quid offer comes in January to Derby, it's going to be difficult for them to turn that one down.
Indeed, we are getting extremely close to team news time, and we'll be going to Leeds United's game at Anfield and to Hull City against Newcastle United as well. Mark Wilson and Derek Clark primed and in position, ready to receive that team news. One other bit of sporting news to bring you just before we take a quick break on the FL 72 regarding one of our Yorkshire athletes, Sheffield's Jessica Ennis-Hill, who is to be awarded her 2011 World Heptathlon Gold. That's after Russia's Tatiana Chernova was stripped of her title due to doping. So some interesting news there regarding Sheffield's Jessica Ennis. We shall be back on the FL72 in a few moments' time. Well, hopefully we'll have team news from around the grounds.
With BMW navigation and Spotify integration as standard, the BMW 1 Series effortlessly combines information and entertainment with outstanding driving pleasure. And now the 5-door BMW 118 iM Sport is available with monthly rentals from just £239. Visit your local BMW centre. The BMW 1 Series. Pure BMW. £4,269 initial rental, 36-month hire agreement, subject to status and availability for new vehicles ordered by 31st of December and registered by 31st of March 2017. UK only, guarantees may be required. Excess mileage and other conditions apply when you return the vehicle. BMW Finance.
I know what the plough looks like in the night sky. I know how Eskimos kiss. I know a time when a mullet wasn't a fish. And I definitely know this piece of music. But I don't know my state pension.
There's a simple way to find out when you can get your state pension and how much it'll be. Search Your State Pension and get to know yours.
Your favorite New York Italian restaurant, Frankie and Benny's, are giving you 50% off great taste and main courses. You got it, 50% off Sunday through Friday from 5. Just download their app or sign up online for your voucher. So get together and let Frankie and Benny's take care of the cooking. Minimum 2 main courses required. Exclusions apply.
Do you need a bag?
Yes, please.
Help with packing?
Sure.
Help to the car?
I'm fine, thanks.
Help with driving?
Uh...
Unlike this situation, when it comes to your first mortgage, there's nothing like too much help. That's why at Post Office Money, our Help to Buy mortgages come with a dedicated application manager. No upfront fees, and you'll even get £500 cash back. Apply over the phone or speak to one of our mortgage specialists in branch. Post Office Money. Mortgages sorted. Post Office Money mortgages are provided by Bank of Ireland UK. Your home may be repossessed if you don't keep up repayments on your mortgage.
From the John Smiths to the Keep Mort, the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Yes, welcome back to the FL 72. And tonight it is over to Anfield. Leeds United in action in the quarter-final of the League Cup. And Mark Wilson, Neil Redfern and Andrew Stats-Dalton are in position. And Mark Wilson has the team news. Evening, Mark.
Evening, Sam. In the last four rounds, Gary Monk has made 33 changes. Tonight he makes a further four as Rob Green, Calvin Phillips, Luke Ayling and Chris Wood are all left out of the start. Lineup. They're all on the bench for Leeds tonight. In comes Silvestri, Dallas, Vieira and Berardi. Leeds then will start with Silvestri in goal, Berardi, Bartley, Cooper and Taylor at the back. O'Kane and Vieira in the middle with Sacco on the right, Dallas on the left, Kimar Roof in the 10 role and Suleiman Dakara up top. On the bench for Leeds tonight, Green, Grimes, Antonsen, Mowat, Phillips, Wood and Luke Ayling. For Liverpool, they have not lost here all season. Six wins and a draw, much to Sam's delight. Their only defeat of the season was against Burnley back in August. They won 2-0 here on Saturday, but they make eight changes from that side. Just Wijnaldum, Chan and Mane retaining their places. They start with Mignolet in goal, Alexander-Arnold, Lucas, Clavin, Moreno at the back, Stewart, Wijnaldum and Chan in the middle with Ajaria, Origi and Mane starting up top. On the bench, Karius, Klein, Lovren, Milner, Henderson, Gruich and Woodburn. Neil Redfern alongside us. No Pontus Jansen tonight. We heard that slightly before the team news was broken, but what do you make of the team tonight for Gary Monk's men?
Well, obviously it's the same shape which Leeds have really relied on in recent months and has served them well. So it's players coming in into positions that are familiar to them. To be fair, you know, Roof I thought did well in that 10 role against Rotherham. Probably deserves another chance, another shot at it, which gives him that familiarity, gives Dallas some more time. But the bottom line is, I mean, we're talking here about a cup competition that's at quarter-final stage with a chance of getting to the semi-finals. So both managers will want to win this game, but obviously there with both team selections, there's one eye on Saturday as well.
Yeah, there is. Stats, no Chris Wood in the starting lineup, but he's come off the bench in the last two rounds and scored important goals to get Leeds to this point.
Came off the bench against Blackburn, then came off the bench against Norwich, and I'd say in the penalty shootout, I'm not too surprised he's on the bench. I'm not too surprised Silvestri's in the starting 11 because he was the hero against Norwich last time out, and I think it's an opportunity for the likes of Stuart Dallas, and it's good to see Gaetano Berardi start again for the first time since that cup tie at Norwich back in October.
Yeah, four changes then. Sam, Leeds looking to reach the semi-finals for the first time since 1996, around about 54 minutes to go to kick off here at Anfield.
Excellent. Mark, Redders, Stats, thank you very much. That is Anfield done. Let's cross over to Hull City. And Derek Clark is there for us tonight. Hull City against Newcastle United, also in the quarter-final of the League Cup. Derek, have you got the teams?
Yeah, certainly do, Sam. Wholesale changes from both teams. Six changes for the hosts from the 1-1 draw against West Brom at the weekend. So in comes Jakubovic in goals, Andy Roy, Robertson, Maguire, Myler, Huddleston and Diamandé. So it looks like they line up with Jakubovic in goals. Back four of El Mohamedy, Dawson, Maguire and Robertson. A midfield of Snodgrass, Livermore, Huddleston and Mylod with Diamandé supporting Mbakani up top for the Tigers. Meanwhile for Newcastle, seven changes as I mentioned from the surprise weekend defeat at home to lowly Blackburn Rovers. So in comes Sells, Anita Lascelles is a captain for this evening's game. Lazar Diame obviously playing against his old side here this evening, Gufran and Gale. So Newcastle line up Sells, Anita Lascelles, Clark, Lazar, Shelby, Hayden, Richie, Diame, Gufran and Dwight Gale. So like I said, wholesale changes from both teams. It'll be interesting to see who comes out on top in this one.
A tough game really for Hull City in the cup. I mean, looking at Newcastle's team there, there's still quite a lot of quality on show, and we all know Hull's problems with strength and depth.
Yeah, certainly. And one key player for Newcastle tonight, I think, will be Mo Diame. Mike Phelan obviously came out this week and says if he stayed here at the KCOM, he'd imagine that Hull would be further up the league table than they are at present. So I think he'll be a big player for the Magpies this evening. Dwight Gale, obviously, the Hull City backline will have to keep him out if they've got any ambitions of getting into the semi-finals of the competition. Saying that, though, Mike Phelan said this week that it'll bring about a headache for them because the two-legged semi-final takes place in January. They've already got a congested fixture list in January and they're struggling for players as well. So it remains to be seen if Mike Phelan will be too disappointed if they go out tonight.
Excellent stuff. Derek, thank you very much. So there we go. Team news from both games involving Yorkshire sides in the quarterfinals of the EFL Cup tonight. Hull City hosting Newcastle United and Leeds United, of course, over in Liverpool at Anfield ahead of that game, which you can hear, of course, live on Radio Yorkshire. We'll join the lads for a full build-up from 7 o'clock. And we are hurtling towards 7 o'clock on the show. I promise, Tom, every single week that come rain or shine, this will happen. Yes, it is the Tom Carndor feature, Good Days, Bad Days. Don't laugh, you know it's true. It is the part of the show which Tom spends hours and hours on every
just
single
hours,
week.
Just the research that goes into this is just second to none, to use a Tim Sherwood phrase.
Yeah, indeed. So the premise, if you've never heard it before, and if you can't decipher it from the terrible title, is that Tom gives us some good days and some bad days from the last weekend of whatever's going on in the world of the Football League, from the Championship, from League One, and from League Two as well. So, Tom, take it away.
Yeah, Rarity get to do Championship, League One, League Two. Seems to be broken up by FA Cup and internationals, etc, etc. But Championship, good day for Brighton. 2-1 win over Fulham means that they have won 7 the last 10 games. Great form for them. Bad, you mentioned it earlier, actually, hints towards it. Newcastle United, it's a bad day because they lost to Owen Coyle and Blackburn Rovers. I don't really think I need to kind of explain that anymore. League One. Good day for MK Dons. Their victory over Coventry is their first win in the league since the start of October. Only victory in between was against Spennymoor in the FA Cup, so you can't really count that. Bad day for Scunthorpe. 1-1 draw with Oxford, who have struggled away from home this season. So, see a bit of a blip for them. Going into League 2, good day for Carlisle United. 5-2 win over Steve Evans and mobility scooter enthusiast Mansfield Town puts them top of the league. And it's a bad day for Plymouth, who were previously top, but 2-1 loss to Morecambe means it's just one win in the last 5 games for Plymouth. Not exactly great form for a team who were hoping to be top end of the league. So good days, bad days for this week.
Indeed. So why didn't you get us Steve Evans? I would have loved to hear the post-match interview of that game.
Well, I don't know. I thought it was Owen Coyle or Steve Evans. You can't have both in one show. It's just too much then. Steve can get. We'll give Steve some airtime, as the technical term is in the week or next week.
Oh yeah, I gave you a task last week. We don't have much time left, so I shouldn't really be doing this. But to get someone on from Mansfield.
Yes. And it's going to be a Christmas... For our Christmas special, there is such a thing.
Yeah,
we'll have terrible Christmas club merchandise. I won't tell him that that's the title. Idea. But, no, but, yeah, we'll get him on. And I'm going to try and find even more stranger club merchandise, and we'll... To a point where we'll be able to fill up a whole show of me ranting about it. But anyway, there we are. Good days, bad days.
Excellent. That is good days, bad days for this week. Thank you, Tom.
From the John Smiths to the Keep Mort... The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Well, that was excellent. Well done, Tom. A couple of minutes of the show to go, and we've still got a couple of topics we didn't cover in the news regarding managers. MK Don still on the lookout for a manager, and Phil Neville, favourite for the Bury job. We'll start with the MK Dons. Are they getting closer?
It seems to be a long, drawn-out thing. I think if you go on the Radio Yorkshire audio boom, Danny Parkinson spoke to someone from the MK Citizen, I think it was, about it. Of course, they kind of spoke to Stephen Gerrard, but it's a bit difficult. They can't seem to get anyone to actually come in and take the job. Of course, Gerrard deciding against it, despite leaving LA. And yeah, they're kind of in a position now where I think there's two candidates maybe for it, and then you're getting into kind of the big betting in terms of your 12s and your 14s. So it's kind of fluctuated between who is the favourite, but it's a bit difficult to kind of say, yeah, there's a definite person that's going to come in and take it.
We shall see on that one. And what about this Phil Neville? We've got about 40 seconds to go. Phil Neville at Bury. It's his hometown club, I suppose. Now they have their big links with Bury, the whole Neville family. So it would be a nice first job for him.
A nice first job. I think, yeah. Of course, Bury departing last week with a manager. And yeah, Phil Neville emerged as early contender to take over, of course. Had his coaching gig with former European giants. I don't think they are anymore, but Valencia is still massive for them. Mm. And yeah, come as a bit of a surprise, and it's a difficult place. I think you underestimate League One, League Two, but it's difficult for any manager trying to start out. So it should be interesting to see if he does get it, how well he does actually do.
Yeah, Phil Neville, the favourite currently for the Bury job. Chris Brass, oh, what a name, the former Burnley centre-back.
Great name.
Score up one of the greatest own goals in history. Search for it on YouTube.
I will. Yeah, I will.
Good. Ryan Giggs also in the mix for that job, as is Kenny Jackett as well, 9-2.
He's going to be on every market now, isn't he?
Neil Redfern also in that market as well. Maybe Mark can get a line on that after 7 o'clock. That is us done for the show. We are crossing over to Anfield next on Radio Yorkshire. But from me and Tom, thanks for listening.